This is the Bloomington Review with Jim Inman
on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
Good morning, Bloomington. And I can say good morning because you're getting this on Saturday morning only. Jim Inman joining you here for the Bloomington Review. You're catching an encore show this week because of high school boys basketball sectionals last night, Friday night. We didn't do a full show this week. We're doing a best of, if you will. We have two encore interviews. The first one up is going to be our new sheriff of Monroe County, Brad Swain. Going to be talking to you from an interview that was held early on in January. And then immediately after that, Dr. Jason Simmons talking about measles, how you prepare for that, how you look for that. It's been in the news a lot lately, so Dr. Simmons and an encore replay of that coming up here in just a couple of minutes. I want to thank a sponsor of the show this week, the 2015 Indiana Heritage Quilt Show. It's going on right now, and in fact, Saturday's the last day. It's taking place at the Bloomington Convention Center. You can learn more, check out their workshops, all of that good stuff at ihqs.org. Again, ihqs.org. And don't forget also, we've got March Madness coming up here on WGCL very, very soon. All of the tournament action is going to be covered here live on 96.1 FM and AM 1370. You have to dial in your radio to get that. We're going to begin on Thursday, March 19th at noon, preempting our regular coverage and taking you all the way to the national championship game Monday, April 6th. Details at WGCLradio.com for that. Your weather for the weekend, Saturday night, partly cloudy with a low around 25. Sunday, partially sunny with a high near 42. It's going to melt some of the white stuff. Sunday night, mostly cloudy, low around 27. Then Monday and Tuesday, we may hit the 50s, ladies and gentlemen. It is going to be nice. We got a packed show. Glad you're waking up with us on Saturday. Sheriff Brad Swain coming up in just a couple minutes here on the Bloomington Review. Stay with us. You're listening to an encore replay of the Bloomington Review with Jim Inman here on 96.1 FM and AM 1370 WGCL. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman and David Pillar with you on your Friday night, or if you're catching us Saturday morning, glad you're tuning in to the show. If you have known my name for a little while, you might also have known my father's name. He was on the Monroe County Sheriff's Department for many years, and glad to welcome into the studio for the first time the new sheriff of Monroe County, a man who served with my dad for many years, Sheriff Brad Swain. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you, and there have been many events with your father that I've sworn to secrecy.
Yeah.
You'll never learn about, but we had some good times.
Well, I greatly appreciate that very much, very much. So how has the first 10 days been since the swearing-in ceremony for you?
Fairly quiet. We've had a couple of issues to address, but it's been a smooth transition, and Sheriff Kennedy left me a very good organization.
Good. Very glad to hear that. Well, we are glad to have you here. I wanted to allow our listeners to get a little bit of background and let you tell about yourself and your experience on the Sheriff's Department and how that has all helped you come to this point today as the new Sheriff of Monroe County.
Well, I'm a Monroe County native and graduated from Bloomington North, and have lived here all my life with the exception of a couple of years when I attended college. I returned to Bloomington and was fortunate enough to be hired as part of the additional staff for the new Monroe County Jail in 1985. It was still under construction, so I began my career at the old jail and helped move the inmates to the new jail, and after working in the correction center for 5 years, I transferred to the patrol division.
Okay.
And within just about 4 years, I moved into the investigations unit, serving under your father for several years before he retired. During that time, I interacted with a lot of the different service organizations in Monroe County, the school systems, social services, and different government organizations, and the experience I've had overall with my time as an investigator, I think served me well, staying in touch with the community and understanding how the different organizations work together, and that I think prepared me very well to serve as sheriff now.
Good. Good, good, good. Well, we've got some topics that we want to talk with you about tonight, Brad, and I'm going to let Mr. Pillar take the first one since this one is close to what he does for
a living. Yeah, one of the things that we wanted to talk about was how the sheriff's department interacts with the schools. And I think there's maybe a bigger picture with how we have three or four different entities in law enforcement that all have parts of Monroe County or the city of Bloomington, but some people don't understand how the sheriff department may interact with the schools specifically, if you have any programming that you do, and what your responsibility is for some of the county schools.
We don't have an officer-friendly program or a DARE program at present, so our interaction is... a lot of my interaction has been with all of the social workers at the Richland Bean Blossom schools as well as Monroe County. The department itself, patrol unit, interacts with the principals of those schools, I would say, and they maintain contact if there are any particular issues in which they'd like the sheriff's department to be aware of. So our primary patrol area, our concerns with the schools, are those that are outside of corporate limits of Bloomington and Ellettsville.
Right. And then we had a couple summers ago, we had an active shooter training session at my school at Jackson Creek, and several of the sheriff's deputies participated in that. It doesn't happen very often, but when you watch the news, it seems like there's more violence in school. And maybe what plans do you have working with your deputies to interact with students or to respond to issues that may happen around schools, and how you might specifically think about training for schools versus maybe other calls that you might get?
Well, we participate in the active shooter training, and we also work with the other law enforcement agencies, so we may mix and match officers because from the different organizations, because whoever shows up, they need to be aware of what each other is doing and to work together and have the same system on searching out an active shooter. And everybody understands what each person's role is. So regardless if state police would come in and Bloomington police and then a couple of sheriff's deputies, they all work together and understand what each other is doing. At present, I don't have any goals for creating any programs with the schools. One of my concerns about that is I understand with all the challenges that school administrators have, preparing for testing, things of that nature, that I didn't want to create any kind of program to pat myself on the back and then burden staff time with the schools. Having a open relationship where people can, school administrators can be in touch with me and my officers, where they know they can contact us at any time with an issue, is my primary goal at this time.
We're talking with Brad Swain, the newly elected sheriff of Monroe County, and Brad is a very physically active guy. I mean, constantly hearing of marathons and swimming events and things like that. How do you carry that over to the deputies at the sheriff's department? How do you convey that need for physical fitness in such a stressful role that they provide, that they do?
Well, leading by example, by being now 55 years old and staying active myself, I think is a good example for them. However, the average age of our department under Steve Sharp's administration, we were a much older department with a median age of 50. During the 8 years that Jim Kennedy was sheriff, we had many retirements and additional deputy positions given us by the county council. So we had a lot of hiring under Jim Kennedy, and so the age of our deputies is significantly younger, and a lot of them are very committed to fitness. So it's not that I have to be a cheerleader. A lot of them are already committed to fitness.
Good.
But it certainly doesn't help to see your boss out there hitting it pretty hard. So that's great. It's great for them to see.
One quick thing before we take a break, Brad. On an average day, at whatever time of the day, how many deputies are there on the road?
3 to, if we're fortunate, 3 to 7. And this covers an area that is 5 times the size of the city of Bloomington, with about a third of the staff with similar population to serve.
Okay. So a fairly good covering that can be out there and taking care of Bloomington, Monroe County.
Yes.
Good. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk more with our new Monroe County Sheriff, Brad Swain, talk a little bit about some of the national news and headlines that have been taking place about police and how Brad's going to be working on that on the local side to give that positive aspect of the Monroe County Sheriff's Department for the community. And we'll also talk about some of the jail programs that are coming up and as well just things that he would like to do, some of the projects that he can put his fingerprint on as well. So we're going to take a break, come back with again with Brad Swain. This is Jim Inman, David Piller here on the Bloomington Review. You're listening to an encore replay of the Bloomington Review with Jim Inman here on 96.1 FM and AM 1370 WGCL. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review here on WGCL 1370 on your AM dial or 96.1 on the FM side of things. The Bloomington Review, Jim Minman and David Piller here. If you miss any part of the show, as always, facebook.com/thebloomingtonreview. Like that, check it out. And we are also streaming over at wgclradio.com. And if you miss any part of the show, you can check out the Bloomington Review page there and catch up on this show as the past shows as well. We're talking with our new sheriff of Monroe County, Brad Swain. And just talking about a variety of things on the community side of things. And Mr. Piller, you're up to bat.
Jim, you know, it's obviously no secret, Brad, that across the country, from Missouri to New York and from Phoenix to Cleveland, lots in the news about police right now. And you know, it's a classic example of things happen isolated and all of a sudden an entire profession or an entire group gets a picture painted. There's so many positive things that law enforcement does all over our community, all over the state, all over the country. I'm very fortunate to have lots of friends that work for Bloomington Police and for Indiana State Police and all of the local agencies, and I get to see firsthand all the great stuff you do. What's the goal right now as you take over to help the community see how many positive things that the police do and how people can call on the police when they truly need them and they'll be there for them?
Well, one of my main goals is to ensure that deputies are recognized for the good work. And the carryover I had from the campaign was the self-promotion and working nearly 3 decades with the sheriff's department. You know, it's ingrained in my blood and I want to show our organization in the best possible light. So having a good relationship with the media where I can reach out when the deputies are doing something good or we have a new program, I think being open and honest if things don't go well, if something does happen, to address it and be totally open and honest about it and go on. So I believe self-promotion is a good thing for the organization, and when people have a good perception of the sheriff's department, they will feel more comfortable about communicating with us if they have any concerns.
And Jim, there was a situation recently where some deputies got to be recognized.
There were deputies Mike Miller, Nathan Williamson, and Spencer Parr. They responded to a call of a suicidal man on a Thursday, and ended up that Officer Miller found the man in the basement, cut the cord, and started CPR on him. And then Williamson went to get a rescue mask from a squad car, and Parr worked with the family through all of this. And deputies successfully revived the guy. And, I mean, hopefully this is going to be a story that has a much happier ending than what was anticipated by this man initially.
Yes, we all hope so. I know, especially working in the jail, that a person in a suicidal state, that state, it can be very brief, and if there's intervention, a lot of times they can turn their life around, and I certainly hope that that is the case here.
Talking with Monroe County Sheriff Brad Swain and just a variety of topics here tonight, what are some of the programs that you're wanting to bring in as you step foot as the new sheriff in Monroe County, some of the programs that you're excited about that are already existing or new things that you want to bring to the organization?
During my campaign, one of the things I stressed was I intended to improve visibility of the sheriff's department. We've already discussed how sparsely we are spread across the county, and to have unmarked patrol cars and not waving our flag, so to speak, on the rare times in a remote part of the county that a deputy might be out there, and losing that opportunity of exposure, I didn't see that as being good for the community or our department. So one of my priorities is to get our unmarked cars marked. Additionally, my captain of operations, rather than being in an unmarked car, has kept his marked car. He lives outside of Ellettsville. So as he is performing, coming to and from the department, there is that exposure. So that's one of my immediate goals, is to improve visibility of our department.
As the child of a police officer, there were a few times in my younger days when my dad had a squad car where we had to stop for good and bad reasons. Somebody would be broken down on the side of the road, and Dad would stop and help out and, you know, get on the CB radio at the time, because this was in the days before cell phones, and, you know, get the message out, get somebody help. Or if somebody was acting a little squirrely for whatever reason, it was very simple to flip the sirens on and, you know, do what was needed to be done. And I have always appreciated a marked squad car, because it does give a sense of comfort to a lot of people when they see that, if there is a concern in their neighborhood or on the highways or whatever the case may be. So I appreciate that you're bringing those back. I really do.
Yeah, and we should also let the listeners know that sheriff's deputies here have take-home squad cars. So those cars are parked in their driveways for further exposure. So even as they're conducting business off-duty and they might be using the car, there is that, I guess the military term would be a multiplier effect by just mm-hmm. having that exposure. And so that's another reason to have the marked cars, and why I plan to get these unmarked cars striped
right
soon.
Wonderful. Wonderful. What else have you got coming up, sir?
One of the other issues I want to address is response to dangerous persons. To have an action plan when we are interacting with dangerous persons who have firearms, who are misbehaving, where the deputies understand how they can enact the Laird's Law to take in firearms for safekeeping, as well as if a person needs to have their handgun license revoked, that they're aware of the process, which includes submitting documentation to the State Police Firearms Board and appearing mm-hmm. in a hearing in Indianapolis, that they understand that they are encouraged to follow through on those procedures if that needs to be done. I should note that, by and large, handgun permit owners are not a crime issue at all in Indiana. But there are some people, and handgun owners or firearms owners would all agree, there are some people who shouldn't have them.
Right.
And that law enforcement needs to respond appropriately. And I just wanted to make sure that we have that action plan in place so the deputies have an immediate way of referring to options they have if there is a person with a firearm that probably shouldn't have it, at least for a short time.
Right.
Brad, what about the jail and the justice facility? Any plans for any changes down there?
The jail, we have some things going on right now. We have approval for upgrading some kitchen equipment, which is always exciting, and I'm sure people
sure.
love to hear about.
Right, right.
However, one of the goals is to expand the jail on the first floor once some room is made available in one of the records rooms. And then once that issue is addressed and solution to finding new space for the records is done, there is a contract approval to install a couple of cells that are specific to addressing the needs of inmates who have mental health issues. We have a psychologist on staff, or a psychiatrist, I can't recall which, and it would make it easier for Dr. Weller to see to the needs of those with mental health issues. So that's something that Jim Kennedy started in his administration that I hope we can see to fruition before the year is out.
Sounds like a plan.
Huge piece. The mental health piece is such a huge, huge part of a lot of things going on in the community.
Yes, and we have a new law that has come into effect to divert inmates from being sentenced to Department of Corrections, so we run the risk of jail overcrowding, and those inmates with mental health problems are one of the biggest risks of this failing. I should also note that the courts are exploring having a mental health court specific to addressing the needs of those with mental illness, so hopefully we can support some of those programs that come into place with a better facility.
There's been talk off and on over the last few years about a new jail or some kind of new facility down in the old RCA area down off of Rogers Street. Do you know anything about that? Are there any updates? Is that any kind of potential at all?
I haven't heard anything about the RCA facility since 8 years ago. They were exploring that. Mm-hmm. I haven't been privy to a lot of plans that I might very well now. However, there's not been much talk about building a new jail. If they do, I would hope that the modern design of jails now, we could operate with less staff than we have now. Ours is poorly designed.
The infrastructure of the building, you mean?
Yes, just the layout. Mm-hmm. The staffing level needs to meet just the insurance, what the insurance companies tell the county we need. The modern designs, we could operate with less staff if need be.
Interesting. So. I didn't know that. Anything else, Brad, you want to talk about before we head out?
An additional program in the jail is New Leaf, New Life, in which local volunteers work with inmates, specific inmates who qualify to try and give them a better understanding of being a part of the community. This program's been in place in the jail for quite a while. They did lack support for these same persons once they were released, and now they are operating a support office. So there is carryover with the counseling and things they receive, and that is down in the Perry Township Trustee office complex, if it were. Mm-hmm. And it's great to know that, you know, that the inmates who are incarcerated have the continuity on the treatment and counseling they were receiving in the jail, and hopefully it will hopefully divert some from returning, and given the costs of housing an inmate, that if just a handful are diverted and don't come back to jail and then give us a major medical issue, then it's a program well worth the time and effort.
Fantastic. Awesome. New Sheriff Brad Swain, glad to have you aboard, sir.
Congratulations. Thank you.
Yes, very, very, and much appreciated for coming in tonight. We do appreciate it.
I'm glad to be here.
There's more to come, so stay with us here on the Bloomington Review. You're listening to an encore replay of the Bloomington Review with Jim Inman here on 96.1 FM and AM 1370 WGCL. Welcome back, everyone, to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman here in the studio, and very glad you're tuning in to the program tonight. My friend and local pediatrician, Dr. Jason Simmons, is here in the studio with us tonight, making his radio debut, and welcome aboard, Dr. Simmons.
Thank you very much.
Glad to have you on. Dr. Simmons is with Riley Physicians. I said Southern Indiana Pediatrics earlier in the show, but you said there has been a name change now,
I'll take care of that, I promise.
That's
fine. Okay.
But as we mentioned, we wanted to talk about the vaccinations, this measles outbreak, if you will, that a lot of people are concerned about and everything. And I, not having any kids of my own, I wanted to get a true perspective of what's going on. So I invited Jason into the studio. And tell me about Indiana and vaccinations. Like, what are the laws for new parents, or, you know, once you have a couple kids, what do Indiana parents need to do for vaccinations?
Well, the requirements in Indiana to enter public school, there's a certain amount of vaccines that you need to enter public school. The law states that you need to have those vaccines. There are some religious exemptions to that, and then there's also medical exemptions to that.
So, and you had mentioned in the break beforehand that that's for kids who have like an immune deficiency or disorder or something like that, or
right.
if they're receiving like a cancer treatment or something
sure.
as well.
Sure. So on chemotherapy, or if they have HIV, mm-hmm. Anything that would severely depress their immune system, that would be a medical exemption.
So if family has a five-year-old that's mm-hmm. getting ready to head into an Indiana kindergarten,
mm-hmm.
what vaccinations would that child need in order to go into school?
There's quite a few.
Okay.
So the diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis vaccine, the polio vaccine, the hepatitis B vaccine, the measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine.
The good old MMR.
Exactly, mm-hmm. exactly. The chickenpox vaccine. And there needs to be several doses. Some of these are multiple doses.
Okay. And what age is the first vaccine given to a child?
Well, typically we give the hepatitis B within a few days of birth. So okay. we give that usually in the hospital. The first set of vaccines is given at 2 months of age.
Okay, so pretty much right at the start,
right,
is how this shakes out.
Yeah,
and you were telling me also that Indiana has its own set of rules, and those vaccination rules vary by state to state. It is not a federal guideline, so to speak.
Exactly. Yeah, I know California has a personal belief exemption in terms of and actually, our vaccine rates in Indiana are pretty good compared to, I don't have the exact numbers, but mm-hmm. they compare favorably to a lot of the states.
So when you talk to new parents, obviously mm-hmm. the first time parents, they want to know about everything. What kind of questions do you hear? What are the concerns or thoughts that new parents have about vaccinations? Because they hear so many things in the media.
Exactly.
And there's so many different experiences that people have that they mm-hmm. can tie back to things. What do you hear from new parents asking about vaccinations?
Well, they're worried about the side effects of the vaccines. I think the biggest one that people have a concern about, and this has been perpetuated over the years, is they're worried about a link between vaccines and autism.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the biggest concern most parents have.
So is there a link?
No, there's not a link. And the multiple medical studies have proven that there's not a link.
Okay.
This originated out of a study done by a British doctor. His name is Andrew Wakefield. 1998, he published a paper claiming that there's this link mm-hmm. here between specifically the measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine and autism.
Okay.
Since then, his paper has been refuted. Basically, he's been stripped of his medical license by the United Kingdom, mm-hmm. and multiple papers since then have basically said that have refuted his study, basically.
But it's one of those things that caught fire way back when, and that's what people are remembering yeah. over and over and over.
And there was a reported conflict of interest financially for him when producing that paper. So, that's kind of where this a lot of this got originated from, and it's just and then there's it's just spread from there, and more and more people, internet sites or mm-hmm. have these concerns about vaccines, and most of it is not based on any scientific fact. So.
Talking with Dr. Jason Simmons from Riley Physicians. He's a pediatrician there. So when a family comes in, and do they, when you say we need to do the MMR vaccination mm-hmm. or something like that, what are the arguments that you hear back from parents? I mean, aside from the side effects, I mean, mm-hmm. are there other things as well that people are concerned about, or is it just simply the unknown of what could happen
sure.
on down the line?
Yeah, I mean, I think people worry about the long-term effects of what the vaccines are going to cause down the line. Mm-hmm. They wonder if these are really necessary. We haven't seen much of the measles until recently, recent outbreaks of it, and so they're saying, why do I need to get my child vaccinated for that? I think we're seeing the reasons why right now with the outbreaks that we're seeing. So
okay.
Yeah.
We talked before you came on live here on the show about the chicken pox parties. Mm-hmm. There was an article I found online from Good Morning America that there are now even measles parties as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, what is that? Is that exposure? Because you talked – the chicken pox vaccine, I don't think that was around when you and I were – toddlers. I don't remember ever. No. I had chicken pox.
Mm-hmm.
So
I did too.
So yeah. I don't think it was around.
Right.
Back in the 70s.
I don't remember exactly. I think in the 90s is when it came around.
So is it another vaccine to prevent a child from having chicken pox,
exactly.
Correct?
Exactly.
So the chicken pox whole idea that a lot of people used to have of, well, my child needs to get it as well, so let's get our kids together and have a play date, no more kind of thing.
Right, right. Well, people still do it.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. There's still people that don't vaccinate their kids still try it. I've definitely heard of people trying to get together to have these chicken pox parties. And, it's a little scary, similar to the measles. If they're having these measles parties, that could be very scary.
I cannot imagine doing something like that. We're talking with Dr. Jason Simmons from Riley Physicians. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to get more into the side of the measles outbreak that has started in California and is spreading across multiple states now. Honestly, as I told Jason before he came on, I don't really know what all measles is, mm-hmm. because that's really not been around for our generation. We all got shots, mm-hmm. got MMR and everything.
Right.
So maybe you don't know what measles is, but there is a legitimate and a very concerning reason why this spreading of this illness, even in these few cases, the 100 or so cases, why this needs to be addressed sooner than later. So we're going to talk with Dr. Simmons about that. When we come back, stay with us here on the Bloomington Review. You're listening to an encore replay of the Bloomington Review with Jim Inman here on 96.1 FM and AM 1370 WGCL. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman here joining you on the show here on WGCL. Thanks so much for tuning in. Of course, if you miss any part of the show, WGCLradio.com has all of your information over there, and we are streaming 24/7 online as well on the website. If you get out of range, you can always dial us in on your computer. Talking with Dr. Jason Simmons, he's a local pediatrician. We're talking about measles and vaccinations. There was an article on Yahoo this week that says the measles outbreak continues to grow with an additional 19 confirmed cases in the last week. That brings the total number to 121 since the U.S. Centers for Disease Control, the CDC, began tracking this the very first of the year. It's now spread to 17 states, with the latest being Delaware, Michigan, and Nevada. And last week, at an Illinois daycare, 5 babies were diagnosed with measles, which prompted the national daycare center chain KinderCare to require all staff members working with newborns to be vaccinated. What is measles? Honestly, because mm-hmm. I know that I had an MMR shot when I was a little kid.
Yeah.
I've never had measles.
Right.
I know it's spots, but mm-hmm. it's not been around for people to experience, so to speak.
Right.
So what is it?
So it's a virus, and I mean, typically it'll start off just like any other cold that you might get, congestion, cough, and then a few days into it, you're going to start developing high fevers typically, so 103, 104, 105, and then the rash appears, so a bright red kind of spots all over the body, mm-hmm. what we call a maculopapular rash.
For somebody who, if their child has not had the chickenpox vaccine,
uh-huh.
is it a much different appearance from chickenpox to measles, or is it the fever part of a difference also?
The rash is completely different. With chickenpox, you're going to get little, what we call vesicles, which is fluid-filled kind of blisters all mm-hmm. over the body. Measles are more just kind of the red kind of spots.
Okay.
You know, I mean, I've never myself seen a known case of measles because I'm a pediatrician. I started in 2004 out of residency, and the MMR was well underway. I expect that probably I will see a case by the time I'm done. And I know I'm confident we will see cases in Indiana within the year here.
Well, the vaccine for measles, from what mm-hmm. I found online earlier, came out in the 1960s, and then the MMR came out in the 1970s. Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned, this is a requirement for parents in Indiana who want to send their kids to public schools,
right.
Correct?
Right.
Okay. How is measles contracted, communicated to other people? How is it spread?
It's spread through respiratory droplets. So cough, hand on a door. It can actually, it's harder to spread this way, but it's be spread airborne. I could spread it to you across this room mm-hmm. without ever you touching me or it, so I could send it into the air and you could get it. So it's one of the most highly contagious viruses out there.
And when you are suspecting, if you have not immunized your child against this, how does a physician test to make sure that it is measles?
So we wouldn't test unless we started to see the rash and the fever, basically. Mm-hmm. In it can be confused. There's other viruses that can look similar. And I think that there definitely can be some missed cases because a lot of physicians aren't thinking about the measles because it's been gone for so long. But now with all the new cases, I think that'll be more on the forefront of most doctors' mind if they see something where a kid looks really sick and has the characteristic rash and things like that. So it's a blood test, though. So you have to test with do a blood draw and test for antibodies to the virus, basically.
Is the expectation that measles is primarily a childhood disease, or can adults get it just as easily?
Adults can get it.
If not vaccinated.
Yeah, if the adult's not vaccinated, they can get it.
What happens if it's left untreated? What goes beyond the spots and the fever?
So first of all, there's not really a treatment for it.
Oh.
It's basically supportive just measures. The biggest complicating factors of measles is pneumonia. You can develop a pneumonia with it. You can also develop what's called an encephalitis, which is an infection of the brain, basically.
Mm.
But 1 in 1,000 people will die if they contract the measles. So it's 1 in 1,000 will deaths, basically.
My gosh. Painful?
I don't think really is painful, but just it's not going to be a fun thing to have.
I'm thinking like shingles and that rash, that can be painful.
I don't believe the measles rash is painful, but just you're going to not feel well at all.
I believe, and again, I'm taking information from different sources, I think there's some kind of a connection between chickenpox and shingles.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything like that with measles at all that you're aware of?
Yeah, there's a rare – it's not really the same thing. There's a rare thing. The name of it is called subacute sclerosing panencephalitis that
– Wow.
7 to 10 years after getting the measles, you can get basically a problem – have problems with the brain.
Oh, my gosh.
Behavior problems. It's very, very rare. You can develop seizures and a neurodegenerative condition.
So in talking about these kids in Illinois, these 5 little babies that have been diagnosed with measles, mm-hmm. let's say your child is at that same center.
Mm-hmm.
Would you get them immunized right away? Is there anything that somebody who thinks that they might have come in contact with one of these people? Because I know they've been looking for the families who are at Disneyland
right.
in California. What can you do if you think you might have been around it?
So if you're not immunized, if you haven't been immunized, so one MMR gets you 90% immunity. There's 2 MMRs. So you usually get it at 1 year of age, and your second dose, you usually get it at 4 to 6 years of age.
Okay.
So you're 90% chance you won't contract it if you've had one shot, 95% if you've had 2 shots. So the vaccines aren't perfect. But
it's a good defense.
Yeah. If you've been exposed and you haven't been immunized, it's called an immunoglobulin, basically, that you can get a shot of that helps kind of fight the illness, and then you can get the measles vaccine right away. You can get it as early as 6 months of age,
mm-hmm.
But it doesn't. If you get the MMR before a year of age, you still need the 2 doses, 1 dose after a year of age, and then again later. So,
any idea what the typical recovery is if you do contract measles?
So it's going to vary a lot, and that's I think that's kind of what you may. I mean, the vast majority of people don't have any long-term complications from it. They're just going to be very sick for a while mm-hmm. and then get better. And that I think that's why people get. Why do we need to vaccinate for this? But they don't realize they don't really see the 1 in 1,000 that die
right.
from it. Just like, I mean, we have multiple people that die from the flu every year. And a lot of people don't want to get vaccinated against the flu.
Right. Okay. What about, you know, talking about the MMR, the measles, mumps, and rubella, I mean, mm-hmm. Is there a potential ever, do you think, for a mumps outbreak or anything like that as well? Or is it just because measles is much more easily spread because mm-hmm. of the airborne and everything?
Well, we definitely see outbreaks of mumps, too.
Do you?
So that's definitely a possibility.
Okay. I just wasn't sure if measles was more, it was higher on the list, so to speak, easiness to transmit.
I think measles, is definitely easier to transmit and also can be, devastating, of course. So
right.
I think it just gets more attention.
Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman here joining you, and thanks again for catching the Encore replay on your Saturday. If you're looking for something to do tonight, or today, I should say, head out to the Indiana Heritage Quilt Show. It's the last day out at the Monroe County Convention Center, the Bloomington Convention Center. You can find out more at ihqs.org. Again, ihqs.org. And thank them for being a sponsor of the show this week. Weather forecast for the weekend, partly cloudy, low around 25 on Saturday night. Then on Sunday, high near 42. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? Can you believe it? Sunday night, low around 27, mostly cloudy. Then on Monday and Tuesday, we're expecting the highs in the mid-40s to upper 50s. So it's certainly going to look like the weather is on a way to spring. You got to love that. You've got to appreciate the warm weather after the crazy winter that we've been experiencing over the last couple of weeks. Thanks again to Dr. Jason Simmons and new Monroe County Sheriff Brad Swain for the Encore interviews here on the show. If you miss any part of the show, head over to WGCLradio.com and you can listen to the past shows there. Also, Facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview. Like us over there. We'd love to hear your comments and feedback as well. And of course, all your weather all the time, WGCLradio.com. Heading out, and hopefully we'll see Mr. Pillar in the not too distant future. Thanks again, everybody, for listening, and have a great weekend. Bye-bye.